This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks for joining the award-winning To Hull and Back podcast starring your host, Nathaniel Witto. And tonight I'm joined by Will, Tom and Les of Hull City Kits on Twitter. We are proudly sponsored by Old Zoological Bar and Kingfisher. So, Will and Tom, are you excited to talk about kits this evening?
You got from that intro quickly there, didn't you?
I'm excited to be torn apart by Les about kits.
After what happened last week, I just wanted to get through the intro as quickly as possible and move on to another very exciting episode. So, Les, you are of the, is it the Footy Kits podcast?
Do you want to just... Yeah, Kit podcast. And as well, Hull City Kits, that's been going since 2011. I wanted a vehicle where I could talk about City that wasn't political, because I do the Old Ambernecks podcast. I got a bit worn down by the constant political state of the club rather than talking about football, and I thought, well, polyester's not political, I know a lot about football kits, I'm going to write a website cataloguing everything we've ever bought.
I'm sure you could make polyester political. I'm sure, you know, the fashion industry is one of the most it contributes the most, like, out of most industries, a lot to global warming and that sort of thing. So I'm sure you could.
I'm quite sick of politics at this current moment in time.
Yes, I agree. So, well, before we go into our top tens, because that's what we're here to discuss, I'll ask everyone, what do you look for in a football kit? Because whenever I'm watching a match with my stepdad and I say, oh, that's a good kit, he just says, is it? I don't care. It's just colour. So, you know, what are our, you know, sort of theories about what we want from a football kit?
I want to make like it to look good.
Okay. I like that. You know, so it's more the style over the practicality for you, Will.
Well, as a person who doesn't play football, yes. Mm-hmm. I imagine if you're a footballer, you want it to be something that's easy to sort of wear. It's not to distracting, it's useful essentially, is probably the best way to put it, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. Tom, what's your sort of go-to type?
I think there's like certain kits that look a good simplistic, but then there's other ones, like for instance, like the Nigeria, the one from 2018, that look jazzy and they look really good. I'm quite sort of like torn between the simplistic look and then the sort of the outlandish, like outwear sort of look, but in terms of like the whole city kits, I think the simpler ones look more stylish, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then Les, you're sort of the expert. So what do you think about it?
If it's a home or away kit, I want to instantly recognise the team that's playing if I turn the television on. You know, what I want, and not just, oh, well, that's an Ajax kit because it's white with a red band, but no matter who it is, you know, professional English club, you should be able to go in and pull up, look, look at the game that's on and go, oh yeah, that's Crewe Alexandra, that's Norwich City. I think instant recognisability. Not so much with their kits, you can do what the hell you like with them, that's the whole point of them. But to me, one of the factors I'll apply against Hull City kits is, does it make us look like Hull City? Or could you mistake us for somebody else? And I think it's just a real critical acid test against any kit.
I think that's a very good sort of summary there, because for us, it surely is easier than most clubs. You mentioned Crewe, they're just in red. How do they differentiate themselves from anyone else? Arsenal do it with the white sleeves quite well, I think.
The 2012-13 season, Yorkshire TV did like a really brief montage of the best Hull City goals, and towards the end they included a Wolves goal, and it's like they just looked at the kit, didn't they, and they thought that's Hull City. And one of the reasons I prefer stripes, because it's our look, we own that look really.
Yeah, it's like us and maybe there's Wolves and maybe Cambridge United is maybe a stretch you could mix us up with, and that's about it.
Yeah, Barnet at one point, but they mix
it up. Maybe Barnet, I suppose.
Mm. Mind you, it was just a year or two ago when we were signing Timothy Lotutala. I think a French journalist got us confused with Wolves because of the badges. And I suppose, you know, Wolves, Tigers, that's a thing. And mentioning about Tigers, Les, you wanted to talk about sort of your opinion on how people discuss us being the Tigers perhaps a bit too much. So do you want to just elaborate on that?
Yeah, it's just something I think of. When I compare us to other clubs, we've got a fantastic nickname. And wouldn't want to change it. And, you know, the genesis of that came from the black and amber shirts. That's brilliant. But I sometimes think we get a bit too giddy with it as a fan base and overcook it. You know, like grown men wearing face paint as Tigers and wearing hats with like Tigers. And you think, well, Millwall don't wear lion masks and Crystal Palace fans don't dress like Eagles. Why do we go that far with it? Why can't we just... And it got even worse when the name change happened. And it was a possibility. And I just thought, come on, it's just a nickname. It's a great nickname, but I just think we take it too far.
Yeah, because when you're playing someone like Swansea and you can just imagine what their like motivational pre-match videos are going to be, people in parks throwing bread out into the pond, like compare it to mauling and tigers and hunting.
I've no problem with Maul by the Tigers because it's funny and it's ours. It's uniquely ours and it winds people up, and so that's why we should keep doing it. I've got no problem with that. But I just think overall, I think we just need to calm it down a little bit with the nicknames. Just a nickname.
Yeah. Okay. Well, before we go into our top tens, I've noticed that no one's got the current Hull City kit, you know, from this season. So I think maybe just we're talking about some of our favourites. This is one of my least favourite Hull City kits ever, because I just hate how the back of it is completely black. I think we should be stripes on the front and the back. So I just wanted to mention that.
I don't know if it's just me, but every time they come onto the pitch, even though I've seen the kit that many times, I still think, I look at it, I think it's an away kit. I don't know why. I look at the back. Yeah. So I'm sat in East End when the players obviously lining up, and I'm thinking, this is an away shirt. Obviously it isn't, but that's one of the reasons I don't like it as well.
Yeah, 100%.
It's no 95, sort of 995 fake Tiger print shirt, but it's not awful, I don't think, but it's not amazing either.
I think it's
not. I don't know. I've not bought it yet, but apparently the quality is not that great as well. I mean, you've seen a lot of people complain about the quality of the shirt.
Like the badge comes off.
There's only one thing worth buying from the shop, and they're all sold out, and me and Les are wearing them.
Yeah.
Didn't I see they're going to be sold in the shop in person now? Or did I make it up?
There's people selling them for loads of money online, but they're just going to be restocked. Really.
Well, if they've made their money, fair play. But Les, what are your thoughts on extra sort of, you know, not shirt merchandise for clubs and jackets and stuff?
No problem with it. I think historically, Tiger Leisure, whenever it's had stuff that hasn't been made by the kit manufacturer, has been dreadful. You know, if you're buying like a T-shirt or a jumper, and it's the club have just found some manufacturer to do it, the quality is usually pretty poor. So I would much rather Umbro or Kappa be the people designing most of the stuff. You're going to pay a premium for that, but that's why you have a club shop, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
I think it's funny when people say things like, oh, they've got a third shirt and it's just to make money. It's like, well, are you against the idea of a club shop? you know, should they not sell scarves? Because they are just to make money, of course they are. But I just think, I mean, if you're going to stop, I'd rather it be more kits.
If it were like Napoli, where they do about 20 shirts a season, I get why people would complain then. But three shirts is fine. Especially when our home and away are so similar.
But then we are a club that doesn't really need to have three shirts, because we very rarely use our away shirts even. Been using it a little bit more this year, but that's because it's so similar.
That's true. But I mean, why does need have to come into it? You know, you could argue that you'd only need three items of clothing, but sometimes you want to wear something different, don't you? I think a bit of variety is good. I've never really understood that as an argument. Yeah, we don't need a third shirt, but why not? I mean, yeah, like you said, we definitely do this year, because and I really like what we've done this season. I've suggested that before, that we have an amber one, especially now, because the Football League changed the rules a couple of years ago, where if you had alternate shorts, they considered them part of another kit. So you basically said you can't have alternate shorts. But amber shorts are really useful when we're playing away in black shorts. So to incorporate that into the away kit, I really like the idea. I think the biggest thing I've not liked about this season, and I accept the argument that the stripe should be on the back of the home shirt, but I understand why they haven't, because you've got an all amber away kit. But they've blackened the amber, and it's really obvious when you see people wearing the away kit. The Pantone for the amber, when you look at it, is apricot, and it's quite a bit darker than the amber we normally have. And I think I'd like that to go back to the brighter amber next season.
Yeah, very well said. Shall we get into our top tens?
I guess.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah. Well, who would like to go first? Because I don't want to. I want to write down all our names and tick off the tens as we go on. So someone else go first.
Well, okay, then. I don't mind.
All right, then, Tom. So yeah, let's get your first one up. Number 10. Interesting choice.
Yeah, I think the reason why I went for this one is, well, I've got it on the list anyway. Didn't want to put it any higher than 10, just because it's quite unique. I think the badge in the centre, obviously the Bumber badge and the Hull City badge in the centre, I like the colouring. And I think, you know, I think when you think of kits, especially as a Hull City fan, you think of like iconic moments, and that obviously the picture you got there with Minucci scoring that goal. It's obviously one of the goals that kept us up that season. Our only away win that year. In the Premier League, so I think when I think of that shirt, I think of that moment, and yeah, I just like how it's unique. You don't often see the badge in the middle, so I thought, I like the shirt.
I'm going to pipe up and say I hate it. I really hate it. Dark grey, just not a colour you want to see in a kit, just boring, and just too close to black as well in the home kit. I just think it's kind of, especially like that Fulham game, white kit and dark grey, it's just not vibrant on the pitch at all, I don't think. Maybe quite practical, but you know, we're all entitled to our opinions on, but
well, floodlights at Fulham aren't very good, are they? So we didn't. We sort of looked a bit like ninja-y. What irritated me about that kit was I saw the kit man at the time and I said, "What we're going to wear at Newcastle?" Because that away kit had been released really early, because people were wearing that at the final. And I remember saying to the kit man, "What we're going to wear at Newcastle?" And he just sort of looked at me like I was an idiot. And of course, we go to Newcastle and we have to borrow their away shorts and socks, and we're wearing this hideous Umber Adidas mashup. And you think that was incredibly avoidable? And I told you months in advance, and they did nothing. So that I tend to remember it for that.
I think that's what that shirt's mostly remembered for the most part. I know Minucci obviously scoring that goal is a good moment, but I think most people remember it for the kit clash, which I don't actually hate that shirt, but it is a weird choice when compared to the other kits in terms of colour. But I don't think it's about. I
just picked that one because it's different. I just picked that because like it's probably the only different one.
We don't have a kit with the badge in the middle, which is always a rarity. I wouldn't mind seeing that return at some point, maybe.
It almost looks like a leisure wear kit, so you know, as something to wear, a garment to wear. I think it's fine, but same as a match kit, I'm a bit ambivalent.
Okay, Will, do you want to upload your 10th one? If I can just find your number 10. Right. This is an iconic kit and sort of combined with a really iconic moment. So go on.
Yeah, so my number 10 is was it 03-04 away shirt, the all black bonus one. It's kind of, again, it's a lot of mine are going to be tied with memories, to be honest. And this year, I mean, apart from being a shirt for a positive season, and Ian Ashby obviously scoring that amazing goal against Yeovil, I mean, I just like the simplicity of it. I like the V-neck with the light amber on it. That design's going to come up a few times in my list, to be honest. And I like the difference of having the shield around the badge as well. It's just a nice, simple, classic kit. And it reminds me of good times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah, good times at City have never really been better than an away win getting promoted. So, yeah, I think that's valid. Les, shall we go to your 10th now?
Yeah, just as a counterpoint to what Tom and Will have said, I'm going to avoid kits that are associated with iconic games. I think some people, when you ask them for favourite kits, they will respond like that. They almost answer, what was your favourite season? But I've decided that I'm going to tie it to aesthetics purely and not to team performance, because I think a beautiful kit isn't ruined because by relegation, and a kit that's a bit shit doesn't become ace because you get promoted in it. So I just think that's a point that needs making, and I don't want like, oh, well, we got relegated, or oh, Terry Dolan was the manager and the football was shit. If it's a good kit, I'm going to say, because I think, you know, if you've got designers at Umbro, Match Winner, Kappa, they've put all of this work in. It's not their fault if our defence is rubbish, is it? So I'm just going to keep it. So I think it's valid if you're doing the iconic stuff, but I'm going to go just with the aesthetics.
I did very nearly put in the shirt from, was it 2020, where we went down the worst football I think I've seen in a long time. I nearly put the old tiger strips across the middle. Nearly put that out at the end of it.
Some of my favourite kits are relegation kits.
So this one, I think that the three of you have all got this one on your lists, but it's Les's number 10.
Yes, this is popular. So it's the 17-18 third kit? Mm. Or is it just the away kit? It's blue. Blue third with kind kit of amber accent. I think
this is Peony.
Yeah, it's a beautiful kit. It's beautiful kit, isn't it?
I think across the 9 years of Umbro, so like 2014 to 23, I think their output for City was great. They had a couple of stinkers. Yeah. But overall, I think the standard was consistently high. With the third kits, if you ask me this question, I'd probably give you a different answer tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow I would say the Deep Lagoon kit from 2019-20. But I'm going to go with this one because I just think the shade of blue, it was darker, but it was lighter than navy. It wasn't too dark. It's quite neutral and it works with amber trim really well. So this kit where it gave us a look we've never had before, but it also had elements of recognisably City in it because of the trim. Mm. And I think this was the first Umbro shirt where they were testing the waters for a tiger stripe print, because we had two kits where we were putting a tiger stripe element, and with this one, it was a jacquard weave. Now, I love jacquarding. I think it's a really premium feature, and it's, sorry, I'm getting hyper geeky now, but it's a feature you don't see much because sublimation printing is so much cheaper, and so most brands would rather just sublimate it rather than put the jacquard in. I think it's something. This shirt, right, I reckon you could go to a meal at Ask Italian or Tapasaya wearing this shirt and they wouldn't tell you to get out for being a pog in a football shirt. It's that classy.
It is classy, isn't it? That's the word. And yeah, you're right. It does sort of have that sort of shimmering tiger print, which is really nice. And I think we had some good moments in that one as well.
I forgot where I put it on my list. I think I put it like 5th.
We'll come to it when we come to everyone else's list.
Yeah.
I've got all the numbers here. That's 7th for Tom. That's 2nd for me. Well, so I really like that. And 10th for Les.
But we was going to come to it.
Or doesn't
come
to like it,
when you get to it. I'm a bit older than you, so I've got a wider scope, I suppose.
I've got
mine is slightly oldish compared to modern
day. I think the earliest one I've got is 2013, and that's actually the next one. This is my 10th. It's the Steve Bruce promotion season, amber and kind of black sort of section on the top. So no stripes, but there was a kind of thin amber line near the top. And I just like that. This is one that, I mean, you can tell it's Hull City because of the colours, and it does have a sort of stripy element, but it's kind of different, and this is the first kit I ever saw us play in. I think that's, you know, a really important thing. This is sort of the first thing I remember City looking like, So I have to sort of compare it to that. And even though it's very different to pretty much every other kit we've ever had, I think that's kind of why I like it. And, you know, it's just those early memories. So who wants to go ninth? Was it you, Tom, who had a went first?
I forgot what I put now, to be fair.
So many images. I will find it. Here we go. It's some sort of season. 2002 away kit. Black and navy.
Why have they gone for this one, Tom? 2003 third kit as well.
Yeah, I was looking through the kit archives and I was like choosing kits. I was like four at the time when this kit was out, so I didn't really obviously remember, but I don't know. I think it's completely different to obviously something that we've seen. I really like the design, like the white and the blue, and the collar as well is really nice with the obviously the amber as well. I really like that part. And yeah, the sponsor obviously goes well with the kit, so yeah, it's good, fundamentally good kit, I think.
Yeah, we never used navy as a trim colour, like a contrast colour before. So that was like the innovative thing with that one. I know this because I'm writing a book at the moment where I'm trying to catalogue every kit, and I only wrote that piece last week, and so that's what stuck out for me, that it was traditional all white, but it had the new element of going with the navy as a contrast colour rather than doing it black or.
Will, you're number nine?
Well, we're going to stay in the same season. Pretty much, because I went for the home kit from that period, which again same template pretty much, but obviously different use of the colours. I love similar reasons. I love the use of the collar's fantastic. Always thought it had really long sleeves, even the short version, and that picture sort of fits it with the laning.
I think kits from that period are like, I don't know if it's just like because they're older, but they're massive. I think like I got given like a large kit, and it's like it's huge on the arms, like. Just massive.
Well, as a larger person, I very much like the larger kit, which I think
That's the last. Well, apart from the away one, which go was it? But that was the last season of us having a polo collar on a shirt, and I really wish we'd just stick a.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm back there. It's been so long.
I feel we've missed the boat now. Kappa aren't going to do it.
Nah.
Yeah, some kits that or some clubs just have it for like 1 year and. Yeah, in the time I've supported City, we've never had one. So it's a bit of a shame. But I personally, I'm not really a fan of collars on kits. It's probably because I'm not used to it. Just seems a bit too smart, perhaps, for football.
Too smart for football. Too smart.
Well, I mean, you're not allowed, if you went into a pub, as you said, with a football shirt, even if it had a collar on, it's still not going to look smart enough, is it? So what's the point?
Try and put a tie on with it, maybe.
You say that there's a difference between going in Ask and going in like Bonnie Burr.
I don't know what that is, but cool. Who's next? Is it just me?
It's you.
There are so many images. It's going to take ages. Okay, so a bit of a controversial player I've picked to model this kit, but we've got the 2013-14 home kit. So the first Premier League season under Steve Bruce. We've got Danny Graham showing it off there.
Chelsea
a bit odd. Man City away.
That's a typical Danny Graham pose. It's just missed, hasn't
it? It's very typical.
Honestly, that one might have been after he scored, but it was ruled offside, which is even worse.
I mean, the one time he did score, he didn't celebrate.
I know. Poor guy. But I think I just like the fact that the Adidas logo there is in the middle, because I think an Adidas logo in amber, I'm not sure if I like that, and that would have had to be an amber to show up on the black stripe there. But as I was explaining before the episode started, I'm quite a fan of the home kits having proper blocky, kind of thick stripes, and that is a perfect example of one of those. And I think we're all quite a fan of those Ambo or Adidas stripes on the sleeves there.
The big frustration with that one, it was the same template as West Brom had, and that was a bit irritating. I think that was the biggest criticism of the Adidas years, is that they essentially gave us we just got catalogue templates, but we made black and amber, and generally they tended to make better away kits for us than they did home. But when that came out, people were moaning about how much black was on the arm. Oh, it looks like we're wearing black armbands, but as soon as you put Premier League patches on, that complaint went away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, Tom, your number eight is another iconic kit.
Yeah.
Here's Dean Wendas scoring at Wembley. So obviously good memories there.
Yeah.
Are we just going to skip over Leslie's number nine?
No, it's okay. You can. Oh, we've gone to eight. Yeah, sorry.
I thought we'd done Leslie's number nine.
No, we haven't, because three of us have got it in our lists.
Oh, have we really? Oh, I'm awful. Oh,
we'll leave that one. I'll just say
that's a great choice.
We will be coming back to it later because a few people have mentioned it. So actually having it later on the show would perhaps work. So yeah, Tom, thoughts on this one from 2008?
Yeah, I think obviously it's tied with the iconic moment. Obviously, probably the most iconic moment in our history. But apart from that, I think it's a very stylish kit. I like the sort of uniqueness to it. I think we're not often seeing sort of like kits throughout our history about the stripes or pinstripes as the home shirt. And I think they nail the sort of like the pattern across the side of the shirt and obviously across the top as well. I like that sort of style to it. So aside from being sort of one of the most sort of memorable kits from our history in terms of the goal Dino scored, I like the sort of the style of it. Yeah, and it's a kit I also found like about 5 years ago in a charity shop in my size as well for £5. So I was buzzing.
It's really well made as well. You know, the construction of it's really good. You know, we'd been used to brands that where the construction wasn't quite as good. And of course, it was the England template too. So it's
the quality is really good. Yeah, the quality
slight
is really good.
To share a template with England rather than Stoke, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's just enough black on that one to make it look like our city kit, because if you take that off, it perhaps looks a bit Wolves-esque. Will, your number 8?
Probably the most modern one I think I've got in my entire list. It's obviously from his last season's away kit. I love this shirt so much. I just love the use of the red, harking back to the 80s period. And obviously, I mean, you could argue I imagine some people more cynically would say it's to do with the whole turkey thing, which I understand if they think that. But the way it harks back to those mid-80s sort of shirts, the old Admiral ones, I do like red on our kits, especially when the kit numbers at the back were red as well, made them look even better. Because I was worried they were going to have black numbers on the back of them. But they had those dark, you can see in the background there, the maroon on Seri, it just looks so nice, that shirt.
I think I just sort of forgot about this one. The best part of this is definitely the sleeve ends. That's the nicest part. And part of me thinks I'd rather it had more red on it, or you know, that kind of pattern on the sleeve there was the entire kit. But I think we only played in it twice.
Yeah. I forgot about this one as well. I like the kit, but it's sort of...
You say you forgot about it, Tom. You put it as your number 2.
Have I? No.
Yeah.
Well, what? Yeah, well, see, we might have had a bit of miscommunication there because one of the kits from last season was used in a previous year as well.
When we get to it, I'll tell you which one it is instead.
We know which one it is.
Yeah, no worries.
That image is where we mashed up, where we decided to wear it with a black home shot, but it worked just as well. Just about the turkey point, I remember a couple of people saying, have we done it because of turkey? You know, kits are designed 18 months before they're released.
And that was it. That's why I think it's silly.
Long before Turkish owners bought us. So it's a coincidence. But somebody from the club said to me, it's the wrong red for the turkey flag. I was like, is it? I don't know what the nuances of the red of the Turkish flag is, but they didn't see that and think of Turkey. So fascinating.
Yeah.
So do I get my number 9 then, or have I lost it?
Your number 9. We're going to mention that in a little bit, I think. Three of us have gotten it.
It's on two other people's lists.
Yeah, I think there's quite a few. When we get further down, there's some really popular ones. I accidentally put it up just before, but Les, your number 8.
Yeah,
2018 home kit.
Interesting choice.
Yeah, I reckon most people wouldn't think I would choose this one. I think this was my favourite because it recreated a classic Umbro kit without hardly anybody noticing that's what it had done, whilst also being a contemporary and a slightly different use of the standard stripes. Now, I tend to call the bands on this twin stripes, two thin stripes close to each other. And that pattern appeared on our 2009 away kit, the Fusion Blue one. It was embossed into it, but here we used it as a print. And it's essentially a colour reversal of Aberdeen's 1993 Umbro kit, because Aberdeen started life in black and amber and then later changed to red. But in 93, they had this black kit with amber twin stripes on it. And essentially, Umbro raided their archives and said, oh, we can colour reverse that. And it looks like a Hull City kit. So I think often as well, having black sleeves can really darken a kit. But because the stripes are irregular in width and there's more amber, it didn't. And I also think raglan sleeves tend to fit better than set-in sleeves. So, yeah, I really like this one. Mm-hmm.
I really like the stripes on that one.
I have quite strong negative feelings about this one. But just
I like the design of black... these, yeah.
Yeah, Tom?
Yeah, I like the, you know, the obviously on the sleeve where the umbra, I like that part of the kit, probably the bit most. I like the style of that, yeah.
Yeah, I just don't like the amount of black and how the black sort of curves over the shoulders. It just looks too smooth to me somehow. But I do like the thin stripe of amber in the middle of the black stripes there. That's a pretty good one. And then we are going to mention the sort of the iconic blackout kit later on. But for the moment, my number 8 is actually sort of the amber out kit that we've got this season, which is the official away kit rather than the third, I think. We've got Jaden Philogy now.
The apricot out, if you look at the Pantone.
Say, that does not look orange. It doesn't look amber, sorry.
It is very different. Well, as you mentioned that, I do have a very sort of disgusting element I like to think about with Hull City kits, which is that do they look better at the start of the game, or do they look better later on when the players have been sweating in them and they get darker?
Have you just been looking at Aston Villa's kits recently?
Aston Villa's kits? Do they play in amber or orange?
No.
No, but do you know why Aston Villa's kits went wrong? I know somebody who...
I don't know this.
Who part owns a factory where they're remaking their kits. They've put 20% elastane in their kits to make them stretchy, but as soon as your elastane goes to that level, it stops the sweat wicking properties of the shirt. So the players are sweating and it can't leave the body. And that's why they all look like they're doing the... you know, the bucket of water challenge. That thing with City shirts looking darker tends to only really happen at the start of the season when it's still summery. Often we'll wear a kit in pre-season and it looks orange, but by the time the season started, it looks amber.
Yeah, but you're right. Well, this doesn't look amber. It does look like it's been raining and the kit's got darker, I think.
Like it was mentioned before, I like the fact that we've got an all amber away kit because it means we're pretty much almost every game wearing our colours.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So your number 7, Tom, we have mentioned. It was that lovely blue one. We can put it up again. Do you want to just elaborate if there's anything that's not been mentioned?
I like how smooth it is. Like Les made a good point that it's a very smooth kit. You probably go out, you know, and probably to a restaurant maybe wearing it, but obviously some good wear days that season as well, but in terms of the actual kit, it's probably one of the best blue ones we've done, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we should do that, do like the challenge and then go in the Bonnie Boat wearing it as well and see if the reaction is different.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay,
you've not been in, Nathaniel, so I nominate you to go in Bonnie
Boat.
Yeah,
I was about to say Nathaniel should go in there.
Okay, perhaps. So Les, I had skipped over your number 9. It's also Will's number 7.
And I'll just mention
it's my number 6 as well. It's the 2019 away kit, which is the sort of reverse of an old classic. So, Les, it's your number 9. Do you want to go first on why you like this one?
Yeah, I mean, I thought I'm not going to pick loads of black kits, so I'll go for one or the other. And I came close to choosing the blackout kit because it is ace. And I think City judged the blackout kit perfectly in terms of timing. We did it before it became pastiche. We're the first English team to actually wear one rather than it be released as leisure wear. But I just think with this one, because of the amber trim, it looks more like a Hull City shirt, even as a completely distinctive away kit. And the collar, that twin trim crew collar, it makes the kit a reversal of the 1966 promotion kit. Whenever you see a photograph of Waggy and Chiller, the likelihood is they're wearing the 1966 kit. Mm-hmm. And this is like a colouring version. So I sort of like that it looks really contemporary, but it also looks like a classic city kit at the same time. And if you want to go for iconic, we absolutely take leads on the own patch in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Will, anything to add to that?
It's pretty much the similar words as Les has already said. It's such a classic sort of design. Again, the sleeves with the Adidas, the Umbro diamonds look just beautiful. And it's funny you mention the old 60s kit, because that might be making an appearance later on, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this was my number six, and it's really smart, isn't it? Because it's, you know, black, it looks less like a you know, sort of in-your-face kit. But then I like how the amber's on the sleeves and, you know, the logo, the sponsor as well, and the Umbro badge. And, yeah, I think this is just really, really smart and put together really well and simple but very effective. Les, I think it's time for your number seven.
I'm going to give a fascinating fact about that black kit. Right. The original design by Umbro had an amber sash, but the vice chairman vetoed it. I mean, it works as it is, but a sash away kit would be interesting.
Mm-hmm. And,
okay, so this one's the 95 to 97 third. Now, the biggest disappointment of supporting City in the 90s wasn't the relegations or Terry Dolan's shit football. It was the fact that you couldn't buy this shirt. There's a video of me on YouTube. It's from ITV Calendar News, the day Mark Aitley got made manager, and I'm outside the club shop wearing an AC Milan shirt. I've always been a kit geek. But I'd gone to pester them to see if they'd sell some of the player stock that didn't get used, because I just thought this kit was fantastic. What I love about it is, take away the shadow stripes, it's got like a thin, glossy and matte white stripes. It's just all white. There's no collar trim, there's no cuff trim. The only bit of colour is like the sponsor, the maker's mark and the crest. And this was an era where a lot of kits looked like somebody had puked up a packet of Skittles on a shirt, whereas this was like the entire opposite. It was really classy and ridiculously rare. The one that I think is interesting, it's supposed to be an all-white kit, but we never wore it as an all-white kit. So that's the first time we used it, that picture at Bradford where we wore the home socks with it. We did similar to that later on in the season. And then the next year, when we got a new batch of them with a black sponsor, we went to Lincoln and wore the maroon away socks with it, and we did that at Torquay as well. So we never actually got to wear it as a full kit. And I do have a match worn shirt. I think
it's one of the Paul Jewell on the right. It looks like Paul Jewell.
Could well be, but yeah, this is. I mean, crack player. This was Lee Ellerington, but in terms of rarity value, there's not much more of a rare match worn than that one.
No, well, very good, and it's good you've got all your kits just to show on the little, you know, thing there.
I nearly put that maroon one from that those seasons in my.
That's a great one.
Really nice shirt.
Yeah.
And I like
we essentially had to have the white one because we had a maroon away. So if you play Bradford, you can't wear either.
Yeah.
And exactly, so yeah. That necessitated that third kit.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Well, my number seven, because as I said, we've already mentioned yours, Tom, another white kit. I think this might be the only white kit I've got on my list. Here's Grzycki after scoring. Great goal away at Luton. And again, it's just very simple. I think we wore it a lot in the friendly games at the start of the season. So I think that's why I liked it so much. We just had a lot of experience, you know, playing in it. And I think the amber and the black sort of sponsor just shows up really well. And I like the collar. It has, you know, a little sort of, you know, black sort of rim there, but nothing too complicated. So I think that's why I like that one. But again,
it's also got a jacquard weave. You don't see it until you're really close to it, but it's got like the shattered diamonds Umbro weave again, borrowing the Umbro archive. So yeah, it can look quite a plain kit, but when you see it up close, it's lovely. Yeah. The problem is if we're going with picking kits because they're iconic, that's anti-iconic because Wigan. And so I often think that's probably what people associate it with, and it's a shame because it's a lovely shirt.
Yeah, I agree with that. Tom, your number six, another Premier League kit. It says third or away from 2014. I can't remember.
We didn't have a third that season. It's just the away.
Away kit. So why do you like this blue one?
I just I'm really a big fan. Like, you'll see a lot of Adidas kits in man. I just love the stripes going across the, obviously, the shoulders. I like the, obviously, the red and white underneath the armpits, and I think the sponsor works well with the kit as well. Yeah, I think it's they've nailed it well with a blue sort of shirt there, I think, and yeah, that's why I like it.
Mm-hmm. Will, you want to mention,
and also Newcastle away.
It'd be a cracking shirt for Yugoslavia if they still existed.
Yes. Exactly. It would almost work for Crystal Palace, you know, I think, with the red and blue and white. Maybe too much blue, but it's that sort of thing. Of course, ridiculous. I think this photo is from the time it won at Cardiff. Ridiculous that our away kit was blue, because, of course, they had to change it. So, I mean, you know, Les, I assume that sort of, you know, them changing the colour of their home kit is sort of very deeply upsetting for you. Is that something?
Or do you not really care for some of the club? I thought it was really funny. There was a point where Assam Alam said, well, at least I'm not changing the colours of the kit like at Cardiff because that's naughty. And you think, but it's the same kind of thing. It's the same assault on a club's identity. It's just whether you do the name, whether you do the visuals. Yeah, it was an interesting one, this one. I mean, it was a simple template kit, bolting up that template as well. Mm. But I like the fact that we had two pairs of socks for it, so we could either wear it with red socks or white socks, depending. So, because I think we wore that at Old Trafford, which we don't often wear an away kit at Old Trafford. But we swapped out the socks, so we didn't clash with them. So it's very basic, but I did quite like it. You know, speaking of Danny Graham, I've got a Danny Graham match worn with that, and exactly when it first came, the inside of it was, it looked like somebody had thrown a load of salt inside it. So he's clearly got some kind of a sweat problem. And all of this sweat had crystallised. And it's like, well, you didn't wipe that hard. So where's this sweat coming from? Bizarre. Absolutely bizarre.
Yeah. I don't remember him being very fit. Ridiculous. Wow. Well,
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Will, we've already mentioned it. It's that reverse of the one we've just talked about, the away kit from 2019. Will, what's your number six then?
It's a weird one that I'm choosing this, but it's the old 60s kit. Firstly, it's such an iconic kit, but it's funny that I like it because I'm not seeing any footage of it in colour. And I've only ever seen it looking a slight grey. It's such a simplistic, basic kit that I just think there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, but it's just sort of the original, isn't it? So if you don't like that, you don't like the colours of the club. And I think actually the collar there is really nice, isn't it?
Yeah. What's interesting about that, the year before... So the year before, for one season, we had essentially had the same shirts, but with two
hoops.
But the reason people didn't like it is we wore it with amber shorts as well. It was our first monochrome kit. So in the 60s, you know, before the 60s, teams didn't wear monochrome kits. And it was usually because the shorts were made of a different material. So if you tried having blue shirts and blue, like cotton shirts with nylon shorts, they're going to look totally different. But the 60s was about the point where they could essentially make them look the same. And that's when you had Leeds going to all white. You had Chelsea going blue, blue, white. You had Liverpool abandoning white shorts and going red, red, white. And we gave it a go as well. But it wasn't popular. I mean, cotton kits is going to lose colour every time you wash it. And that one kept getting called the banana kit. But I actually think if we'd have worn black shorts with it, I reckon we'd have had that kit for as long as this one, because we had this 65 to 69. I just found it fascinating that we weren't even simpler with it, but really it was the shorts people were complaining about.
Hmm. I think it just shows how much, you know, kits have changed, not just in the design, but there's nothing on that. There's no numbers. There's no sponsors. Well,
there's a number on the back.
Hmm. Yeah, but on the front, there's usually lots of stuff. You know, there's a logo. There could be several logos. You've got like Angry Birds on the sleeve sometimes. It's nice and simple, isn't it? You could basically, it's like a jumper. But
one of these, you know.
Classic.
It's the oldest shirt in my collection.
Hmm. So, Les, I'm not sure, again, what season this is. Is this from the 70s?
Look at that beautiful man.
This is 1984 to 1986.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, in the 80s, I didn't really like red in the kit because my view was the only red you see on a tiger is if you've shot it. But in hindsight, this was a really good time to be a City fan. So, like, the club had nearly gone into receivership. It nearly gone bust. You had to sell the North Stand and build a supermarket for the club essentially to survive. The club had been relegated to the bottom division for the first time in its history. It was horrific. And then Don Robinson breezes in, this bloke from Scarborough that owns, like, Funfairs and... he was one of the investors in Flamingo Land initially, and he owns like the Sea Life Centre. And he came in and he just, a lot like in the way that Adrian has now, he just sort of infused a lot of fun into the club and made the club sort of respectable again. The trade-off was he had a bit of an obsession with red, and I don't entirely know why. There's a couple of different reasons for it. And I rang him once and said, "Don, why did you put red in the kit?" And he went, "Did we put red in the kit?" And I was like, "Oh, I've left it too late," and he's senile now. Because it was such an obvious thing that for like 8 years we just put red in the kit. And then as soon as he left, he went. But this kit is absolutely of its time, mid-80s. V-neck, pinstripes. It's got shadow stripes where you've got one gloss.
Almost looks gold as well. It almost looks like gold.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah, you've got like a glossy amber that's almost gold and then a matte amber. It's just the 80s summed up in kits, and the hoop socks were brilliant as well. So
the boots are gorgeous as well.
Essentially the first kit that ever got made into a replica. So this is the first replica shirt I owned was this one. Because we had essentially the same design for 82, 84, but it was matte. It was all just one colour with red pinstripes. And then they like refreshed it with a new fabric, and they had all of the new technology where they could jacquard weave stuff and they could do this glossy and matte thing. And everybody had that. Everybody either had pinstripes or shadow stripes, and we put both in one kit.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, we're halfway now. We've done 5 each. So just time to look at some comments. Tiger Tube there's commenting in. He's equally excited about the jacquard weave. And then Tom's mentioning about how it's good that one of those England templates was used for a kit. And you're quite right, that one from 2014, exactly the same as West Brom. When we played them, it did look quite funny. And then Mark's talking about bringing back the Europa kit. I'm not sure which one that is, but I feel like perhaps we might be mentioning that later. Is that right?
Yeah, sure.
Quite possibly. Okay, right. Well, Tom, your number 5, we can just find it, is the 2013 away kit. So, Tom, talk us through this one.
In terms of, obviously, I was torn between the one from the 2018 to 19, the one you already put up, you know, the black shirt, and this one. And I've gone for this one purely, I like the way the stripes go across the top again. And obviously the Adidas badge is also in amber as well. And I just really like the shirt, to be honest. I just like the simplistic look. And yeah, like I said, I'm a big fan of the sort of the Adidas shirts.
Also another shirt with Dick Leeds at Elland Road in.
Indeed.
Yep. Good point.
I think the only bad thing about this shirt was the sponsor, which was a bit tacky. But that image is from the Doncaster game in the League Cup. I mean, we were awful that game, but that was the first time we'd ever worn black, amber, black. And I it's one of my favourite looks that we've never done it since. We could potentially do it this season, but we've never done black shirts, amber shorts, black socks. And this was the first time. I just thought it looked great.
Yeah. Again, got to say, I don't like that one. Or I don't like it with the amber shorts. It's not a bad kit with the sort of amber underneath the sleeves. I think that's quite pleasant. But I don't know. I think the
worst part of the kit is probably the Empower badges. I'm not a fan of the Empower badges on the side. Yeah. But,
and they're huge, aren't they?
Bring back Coca-Cola.
Mm, yeah. Quite right. Will, do you want to talk about your number 5, which is kind of infamous, really, isn't it?
there's nothing you can say much more about this shirt, to be honest. I mean, it's the tiger print shirt.
What years was this from?
It was 92, 93, I believe. So that the year football began, as we all know. And it's funny because it's one of those, it is one of those shirts in the world, like, you either, I think it's one of those shirts you either really like or you absolutely hate. And I will never understand people who hate this shirt personally, because I think it's I love it. I love it so much. I just love it. It's such a, obviously being the Tigers, it's a logical step, but at the same time, to do a shirt with that sort of intricate design is also mental, especially.
What was fascinating about that period was there was a lot of shirts with intricate designs, but they tended to be away kits, and we was the only that went anywhere near doing that with a home kit. So I thought that was specifically distinctive.
It's just a bit much, isn't it, really?
No.
I think it is.
I don't think it's the best design City kit ever, but you can't argue.
No, it's not the best design, no.
If you try and go on eBay and get one of them, somebody from Malaysia is going to bid a grand more than you, and you're not going to get one. You know, that because it's got that notoriety and you know, that you've got to remember at the time, we was like a middling third tier club. Mm. You know, we were scuffling around in what's now League One. But we all of a sudden had this like international focus on us based on what we were wearing, and that's really unusual. So it's
the best example I think we've got of a cult shirt.
I don't think we should do this all the time. I think it'd be too much.
No.
We've essentially done it, you know, since we did it in 2019-20. We're essentially doing it once a generation, and I think that's right.
Yeah, that'll do.
Well, very good. Les, do you want to talk about your number five?
Yeah, I'm fairly certain that this year's Capra kit is based on this. Obviously, it had stripes on the back, so there's not that. But this was the last time we had an Italian supplier prior to Capra, and I don't think that's a coincidence. The fact as well that we've got black socks as well as black shorts and black across the sleeves. For the Diadora years, the first couple of seasons, the kits weren't made or designed by Diadora. There was a company called Dewhurst of Driffield, but they also had a factory on Sutton Fields. And so we could actually have the kits made here in Hull. And they had the licenses for Patrick and Diadora. But with this one, it's clear to me that Diadora said, okay, you're a championship club now. You've established yourself a championship club. We're going to take over the design. And this was the first shirt where there was like a quantum leaping in the improvement in the fit of it compared to the square cut or the Diadora shirts. This has a really athletic fit to it. The details are really premium. It had these like little hidden ventilation holes that you can't really see it unless you're wearing it. It was as if we'd been taken seriously by a manufacturer and they said, we're going to make it ourselves. So, I just think, to me, it signaled a step up in City's significance to kit manufacturers at the very least. I just think this one was a really classy one.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Whilst I actually try and find out what my number five was, Tom, do you want to talk about your number four?
Go on then.
Which one is it? It's... another away kit, is it?
Yeah. Ooh. I've put this one in. I think in terms of, obviously, Adidas shirts, this is up there for me. I think in terms of the white and black, it's unique. And then in terms of the stripes going across the side as well, I like the colour and obviously the badge as well. That's a nice whole City badge. And yeah, just really like that shirt. I think it's one of them where you can actually just wear it out like in public and you can go to like a restaurant in it. I think it's just a smart shirt. You know, you see the Adidas, obviously, the Adidas classic shirts that are part of these days, and they're like basically similar to this in design without the collar, but with obviously what the Old City badge. But yeah, it's just a very nice shirt.
Any shirt that uses the classic Adidas trefoil is instantly better. It's so much nicer looking than the logo that they've been using since the 90s.
Yeah, you're quite right. And it just speaks to that classic era, doesn't it? I've remembered what my number five is. It's sort of, as I mentioned, one of those kind of very simple, very blocky striped shirts. Tom, you've also got this in your list quite a bit higher than me. It's the League One title win season. And I've got Gavin White modelling me with Captain Louis Coyle. I just thought I'd throw in a player that's a bit, you know, different to normal. Can you see it on the screen? I can still see the 1981 kit. Good.
I can see it.
Well, Tom, you go first with it being so high for you.
Yeah, I think I think it's probably one of my favourite home shirts, if not, obviously it's the highest on the list. I like the block stripes, and I like how the Hull City badge sits within the actual stripe. I think that's quite smart. I just like that, probably my favourite. I think the only thing that maybe lets it down is the sponsor, but I'm not really a fan of the sponsor or like how it sits on there, you know, the white sponsour. But in terms of everything else, the colouring, the collar as well. I just really like the shirt.
The only people who saw it in action were Oxford United fans. And even then, we were wearing our away kit that season. I can't remember now, looking back.
Yeah, we were in a white and blue kit when we went to play in Oxford, and we had fans. Doherty scored. Yeah.
That's your archetypal whole City kit, isn't it? You know, that's what people expect.
Iconic sort of shirt.
And it absolutely sums up us as a club, I think. I like it when we have amber sleeves because it brightens up the whole shirt. I think if you have black sleeves, it can and then black stripes are the same width. It makes it quite dark overall. And when you've got a colour as brilliantly bright as amber, I think you want to ship it off as much as you can. So that's what I appreciate about this, the amber sleeves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I didn't put this in my tent, but I'm violently on board with other things.
Yeah. I think it's just very simple, and it's your stereotypical Hull City shirt. It doesn't really do anything.
I think it ticks all the boxes for Hull City shirt, sort of.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, first league title win in many years since, was it 66 or 69? So, 66, then 66, then you've sort of got to include it. And then here, I think this is actually on three of our lists. It's perhaps the other sort of cult kit that, you know, people wanted to buy over the last 2 years. It's the famous blackout kit. Here we have Alier screwing against Cardiff. Who wants to talk about this first? Because I'm sure we've all got a lot to say about this one.
It was my number four.
My number three.
It's probably the stereotypically coolest shirt Hull City have ever produced. As Les said, it was one of the first. It was the first one in England to actually be worn by the team, rather than actually just be a marketing thing to an extent. There's nothing really. I prefer this version as well with the Gaicom sponsor. I think it looks nicer with that sponsor. It fits neater on the chair.
I think.
It's just cool. And this has come from a very uncool person.
But I just remember when that came out, and if you got one, same with the jackets at the moment, you know, you were popular. Or unpopular, I guess, because it was just so difficult to get one that, you know, people were queuing around for Umbro ones. Or from
the fans of other clubs tweeting me and saying, can you get me a whole, and I'm thinking, what, you want me to get you a whole City shirt? And that, we're not used to that, are we? You know, we're not used to neutrals lauding our kits. What's fascinating is how many times we wore it, because we kept it for two seasons. Across the two seasons we wore it 13 times, and you know, most of the time we might wear it away kit four times.
I think we had quite a good record in it as well. I remember we won at Middlesbrough, Coventry, beat Cardiff at home. And then Longman scored in it in two away wins, Blackpool and Rotherham last year. I remember that, going to mention him. So, yeah, I think we actually have a very good record in that away kit as well. The last number four we've got is mine. Here is actually, of course, Longman modelling this one. No one else mentioned it, but see, out of the two we've had... I could have gone for this one, or I could have gone for the amber kit where we got relegated with the sort of tiger print on the top, because it was kind of odd route. We went from having a striped kit, or we have, sort of a mostly amber with a kind of black accent kind of thing. The sash, perhaps it would look better if the sash was complete, but I just like that they were going for something a bit different.
If it was
a proper sash, I'd have liked it a lot more, I think.
Yeah, I think it just ruins it a bit.
diagonal stripe, but yeah, not perfect. But again, I think that one looked much better later on in the game.
I said that if that was a training kit, it'd be the best training kit we've ever had, but it doesn't.
Yeah, it's a very nice training kit.
It does look like a training kit, yeah.
It's a good garment, but I just don't buy it as a whole city map kit.
Okay. All right. Well, I think Will and Liz, your number twos and number threes.
My number two was the Black Ops one.
Leslie's number four was the Tiger Print one, which we already discussed.
And just because I can, here's a match one example.
Okay, so this one is number three for Will and number two for Les. Again, you'll have to tell me what season this is from, because
92.
Yeah. So just before the Tiger Print. Will and Les, why have you gone for this one in the top three?
Go on, Will.
I think it's similar to what was already said about the League One promotion shirt. I think it's a very classic example of what a Hull City kit should look like. And again, also any shirt, any shirt with that collar as well is also a bonus.
I'm pleased somebody else has picked it, because I thought I was being guilty of something I sometimes accuse people of, and that's banging on about missing a certain thing, you know, like old style goal nets that sagged on the ground, or shin pads that were massive and didn't look like Pringles crisps, you know, that kind of thing. And you sort of think, do you really miss that, or do you just miss being young? And I was thinking, do I really love this kit, or do I just miss being 14 or whatever I was when this came out? But I know I absolutely adore this. It's similar to the one that we won the League One title in. It's that archetypal Hull City kit. It's got the amber sleeves, so I like that because it brightens up the full kit. You have the thin stripes. You've got a lot of black and amber. It had a polo collar. It had a jacquard weave of like repeating parallelograms. Just chucked everything on this kit. And it was the first one we'd had in nearly a decade that we hadn't had red on it. And so we decided to go absolutely classic. And so for that, I absolutely love this one. Jacquard weaves are great. They're always going to get in my list if you stick a jacquard weave.
Can you just explain what that is? Because you've said it a lot and I still don't know.
It's funny, you know, I sometimes chide people on the internet because any kind of design, they call it sublimation, and it's not. Sublimation is a very specific thing. So, for example, this kit had both sublimation and jacquard weaving. So sublimation is when you take a solid dye and you heat it up so quickly it becomes a gas, then you press it into the fabric, and when it cools, it becomes part of the fabric. It's not a print that will pick off, it's part of the substrate.
Okay.
But jacquard weave is when you essentially twist the fabric so that the light bounces off it different, and you can create a pattern with that. So the tiger stripes on the Navy Peony third kit, that was achieved by doing a jacquard weave. You just twist the fabric and you can create a pattern within the weave, but it's not a print, it's not embossed, it's woven into the fabric, and it's quite an expensive thing relatively, and that's why it tends to have fallen out of use, because it's so cheap and easy to just sublimate print. You know, any print shop can do that for you. They can
I think as well, back then, maybe the desire, I don't know if the desire for Hull City shirts was as much as it would be now. I don't know. Maybe that's why. But like, in terms of why you probably don't see the big teams doing that sort of thing, is why you said theirs, because, there's, you know, they've got to make that many shirts that it was just time consuming, I imagine, doing that. But yeah.
Often it is just finances. I was at a factory tour in area in Italy a couple of months ago, and I'd said we'd had this like period of going back to wacky all over prints. Do you now see us going back to a more sedate? And what their answer really surprised me. He said, yeah, we are going to go back to more sedate, but it's not because of fashion. That's what the big companies are saying you should have, because it saves them money. And what they essentially said was, Nike told Liverpool, you're having a plain red kit, you can sell it as it's like the 70s, it's like that one you had in the 90s. But basically, they just didn't want to do anything expensive on that kit. They wanted to try and recoup a bit of the money, because obviously COVID lost a lot of companies' money. So I just thought that was really fascinating, where they were saying, we're not putting anything on it, you're just having a red kit, you market it how you like. I just thought that was really interesting, that a brand could tell a club of that size, don't expect any bells and whistles, you're not having them.
Talking about, you know, sort of merchandise finances, you're daring me to bring up this book again. That you only make the clubs only make 10% of shirt sales and that sort of thing. Just thought I'd mention that.
Thanks, yeah, it's the companies that make the shirt sales. All of this stuff about you can sign a player off shirt sales is rubbish. And the other thing, when people say, oh, they've only brought out a third kit to make money. Hull City order third kits in minuscule numbers. They're normally sold out by Christmas and they don't bother getting any more. So the club doesn't make a massive amount of money from these because they're made in small numbers. But that same lazy criticism gets doled out. We've got a third kit to make money. Not really.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, that was Will's number three and Les's number two. This is going to be Will's number two and Les's number three, so I'll mention it next. Is it 2008 away kit?
Yeah.
But we used it once in the Premier League season, particularly in the Cup, or at Newcastle in the Cup with Premier League patches on.
Yeah. It's good, isn't it, I guess?
It's a beautiful shirt. The best, I think it is, but obviously it is on my list. It's the best away shirt we've ever done, in my opinion.
I'm in violent agreement with you, Will.
It's the best
away shirt we've ever had.
Yeah, definitely. I just like, it's the, that Umbra template, which was again like an England sort of thing. The tiger stripes under the very, the small tiger stripes underneath the arms were always a nice little touch.
Do you know they're not tiger stripes?
Well,
it's diamonds because Birmingham had it on their kits too, but a lot of people took it to be tiger stripes.
I think that's one I missed out.
Those numbers and the letters on the back of the shirts, so you can see Dawson. I think those numbers just look really good as well.
They're probably the best for the EFL era, I think.
I agree.
Yeah, the numbers, yeah.
It's
about a similar time with the Premier League as well, like the best numbers that you saw there, like 2007-08, it's probably, where you said like Ronaldo and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever like City release a white away kit, you always get like a smattering of idiots on Twitter going, oh, we look like Leeds. And it's like, well, we had away kits in 1904 and Leeds switched to white in 1960. So, they can't adopt our away kit as a home kit and we say we look like them.
We look like Real Madrid.
He said he wanted them to be like Real Madrid, but Don Revy played for City as a youngster. Yeah, so maybe he likes City's white away kits and thought Leeds should have them.
Yeah, quite right. Well, speaking of white away kits, Tom, I think we've already discussed this one, but your number two was away kits from last season.
It was the blackout.
I've made the same mistake again.
I've already discussed the blackout, but yeah, blackout's my two.
Very professional hosting for me there. Well, Tom, do you want to mention your favourite Hull City kit of all time then?
And it's in Les's picture there. It's the first one. It's my favourite. Yeah, that one. That is
1981
all-time favourite. Yeah, I'd love to get my hands on that. But it's my favourite. Of course, Adidas, sort of like an iconic shirt at that time. I think Adidas was worn by a lot of the big clubs in the Premier League. But also, obviously, the way we sort of made that shirt is brilliant. Like, you've got the collar, you've got the two big stripes going down the middle that I really like, with obviously the Adidas badge and the obviously Hull City badge on the two stripes. And you've obviously got the iconic stripes going across the sleeves. I really like it. So it's my favourite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the early 80s to mid 90s was the peak of sports. I don't mean the peak in terms of the amount of people that wore them, because everybody wears it now. I've seen mums on the school run. But in terms of design, I think, you look at people's feet now and they're wearing Adidas re-releases of 80s trainers. They're wearing Sambas and Gazelles. Or they're wearing Nike re-releases and 90s trainers. They're wearing Dunks, Air Force Ones, Air Max. So I think with the exception, I'm just talking about a broader sportswear, I think with the exception of those Kanye West things that look like Crocs for turbo knobheads, which is odd because I think Crocs are for knobheads to begin with, everything else is really backwards. If any of you have got Crocs on, I do apologise, but sorry, that's what I think. Everything is backward looking when it comes to sportswear, and I think the 1980 Hull City kit is peak Hull City classicness, I think. I mean, Look at that.
Yeah, yeah, it's gorgeous. I'd love to get my hands on that.
Yeah. Fat amber stripes, the tiger head, the trefoil. Yeah. It's just, I don't know, it's perfection.
Yeah, I don't think it gets better than that.
Yeah, if you think the Kappa tracksuits were popular, if Adidas Originals redid this, they'd be like a stampede leading to deaths in Tiger Leisure. There'd be people who moved at that knife point outside.
Even that whole city badge as well. I really like the whole city badge, the old city badge as well.
This was worn by Dennis Booth. Every time I go in Britannic, and whatever your thoughts on Britannic are, there's always a guy who offers me an extra 100 quid for that every time I go in. I think he's up to like 2 grand now, but when I die, that's with me in a Viking burial.
Yeah. No amount of money can sell that, I don't think.
Never.
No.
Cool. Will, do you want to go with your best ever Hull City kit?
Yeah, my favourite. And this actually goes back to what we started with, where I said a couple of them are going to be ones that I like because of their time. And my favourite Hull City shirt is the 0405 home shirt. It's another example of what I think is, as we mentioned before, the stereotypical sort of Hull City shirt design. It's just block stripes all the way around, no difference on that. Big V-neck and that, like, just a nice little bit of white trim on the collar and the sleeves. There's not lots to it, but it's such a nice kit. And it's obviously, going back to it, it's a successful kit as well because we actually did well in it.
I like the shorts as well, to be honest, the design of the shorts.
Yeah.
I'm going to take some credit for this kit. When Adam, I know it might sound big-headed, but when Adam Pearson first came to the club and I interviewed him as part of the fanzine in his porter cabin outside Bowsbury Park and said, what's your vision for the kits? And he said, I want gold home shirts, which of course irritated, and silver away. And I said, why don't you want stripes? And he went, no successful team wears stripes. I went, what, even Juventus, Barcelona, AC Milan? Anyway, okay, fair point. No English team wears stripes. And so we had striped kits for the first couple of years. And there used to be a thing called the Fans Liaison Committee. It's a bit similar thing to what Ginger Joe's on now. I was at Adam Pearson constantly saying, can we have stripes? Can we have stripes? Can we have stripes? And he went, no, I prefer playing amber. And I said, you've got to give us stripes for our centenary year. And he sort of thought about it for a while and went, okay, then you can have stripes for your centenary year. So...
That's the other thing. Centenary badge as well. It's got a special badge as well. About it.
Yeah, 1904 to 2004.
Very nice.
I'll do it. I've got it as well.
Yeah.
I think the angle was a little bit too dark, but whatever. But it is a great shirt. Didn't feel comfortable to play football in, though.
No, I will say the material's not the greatest in the world.
I agree, though, that white with the collar. I think I'm going to explain this with my favourite. You actually need a little bit of white and a really
good... Can I guess what it is?
What, the home kit?
Yeah, is it the
2016-17?
Oh, disgusting. No, the colour on that one is awful. With the kind of... the white rectangle that goes down the middle.
Funny one he is.
I hate that one. No, that's low, very low.
That's the one you're wearing, not...
It's the one I'm currently wearing. Yes. So again, I do like the sort of, just like Will's there, it's the exact same sort of size and positioning of the amber and the black stripes. I think this is a really good, really, really good. And it's, it is your stereotypical Hull City shirt, kind of black sleeves, but, I like the thick amber, but then the thin black stripes. I like that there are thin white stripes in between them. I think, white again, that's a really good thing. I like that Les. The two words. Oh, what is it?
Jacquard weave.
I was wondering.
You know what?
Is there not a jacquard weave on this?
No.
It does have a type of print.
It's printed in. It does have a tiger print, but it's printed in. And the thing is, what they've done is they've achieved it with colour rather than a fabric wave.
Again, it's like darker. There's like two shades of amber to give a little bit of texture, and I just really like it. I think the it's just a really good example of a solid kit, but done really well, I think. And
I like white pinstripes, and I asked
someone,
what was the thinking about that? I said, was that a nod of the hat to the Great Escape kit, where we had white and amber gradiating into each other. And he said that was the original starting point, but also they thought the white pinstripes gave it like a Brazilian club football look, where a lot of clubs have got two, three different stripes. And I thought, yeah, I kind of like that. So it's not my favourite of reasons, but solid.
Yeah. Well, I'll take solid, and then, I think it's great. But basically what I was thinking was, there's a lot I really like, but I didn't know what to pick as a favourite. So I just thought I have to go for a home kit because I like the home kits. I think we have a really good, recognisable, iconic, colour system that a lot of clubs would wish they have. Because very few clubs have one that no other clubs have that are unique, So, yeah, I just thought I'd sort of go for that. And, we've got to the end of our top tens. Some nice comments there. Tiger Tube again. Very excited about the Jacquard Weaves, and Tim's saying that he enjoyed the trip down memory lane, and that's what kits can really be, I think, remind yourself of the times. Here, Simon's asked about a green white squares match winner shirt.
I've not
heard of this one. I'm going to have a look at it on Google. Have you got it? Oh, you got it here. Oh, so it's like turquoisey, is it?
It was the first away kit that wasn't all white. And it was, green and white checkers. And it was quite good. Same polo collar. The problem with it was, because it was checkers, the further away you got, the mintier the green got. And yet the socks were solid green. And so it meant they looked like a completely different colour, the socks to the shirt. But it was just the optical effect of, as you move away from green and white small checkers, it's going to get lighter. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I like this one. But it always makes me think of a kid I went to school with called Rich Burdett, and he just bought it and put it on, and a guy in the South Stand put a cigarette through the back of it. And it's one of those things that whenever I think of that shirt, I immediately think of Rich Burdett's cigarette ruined away shirt.
What's your favourite, Leslie, of all time? Or is that too hard to choose?
It is the Adidas one. I mean, that's just before my time. My first season was 1983-84, so I never got to see us play it in it, but as somebody who loves that 80s Adidas aesthetic,
do you have a favourite non-City kit, or is that, and that's just too many to choose from, surely?
I'd probably go for West Germany's Italia 90 kit with the ribbons on. I got to meet the designer of that in Manchester a couple of years ago. I don't think she appreciated me grabbing hold of her for a photograph, but it was really interesting because there was like all these kit geeks at this event I'd been invited to, and she'd brought her sons, and I just think they couldn't understand. They were just thinking, well, it's just my mum and she's an old granny. And there was just this absolute wave of love as all these football fans adored her, because she didn't just do that. She also did the Holland 88 kit, and a lot of people
what are the three best kits ever?
And usually those two are two of them. And this woman, who wasn't even a football fan, just knocked out these two forever iconic kits.
Is that the Van Basten one?
Yeah, the Holland ones.
That might be my favourite ever football shirt.
Yeah. And Ruud Gullit was at this event, and he said he hated that shirt because he thought it looked like fish scales. And he actually said it in front of her as well.
I think Blackpool basically ripped that off a few years ago, if I remember. With a sort of faded aspect. We've sort of touched on a few we don't really like, but do we have a least favourite City shirt? Les, I think I can see a cactus purple behind you.
I like the cactus purple. It was something different. Yeah. And I thought some of the reactions.
I've got some clucas on the back of that.
It felt like old men who were scared they were, I don't know, the sexuality was going to change if they wore a picture.
I think it won't help. City's first game was that loss.
On top of my head.
The second one where we managed to not have a shot against us all game but still lose. It's like crikey.
They stopped wearing it.
It's the one I didn't like was the follow-up to the Tiger Stripe. So match winner had stopped supplying us because we never paid them, which is what Hull City did a lot in the 1990s. And so we went to another company and said, can you give us a non-copyright violating approximation? And what it was leopard spots. And the amber was like really dark. It's like the thing is as well, because when you're having an intricate pattern, you've got to remember a football shirt is designed to be recognisable. Tiger stripes are natural camouflage. It does the exact opposite of what you need a football shirt to do. And because it was like this ludicrously tight pattern, the further away you got, the more rusty coloured it got. And it just looked like an old twopence piece. And Oxford United came to Brewsbury Park and wore their home kit because the ref didn't think yellow shirts was a clash. So that just told you it wasn't even Ambry. It was, I'm sure Bobby Adgraff loves it, but no, it's dreadful.
I mentioned it at the start of this episode. That's not a good one. Not a good one.
It's
at
a
all.
Crime against polyester. They should try it out there.
Yeah, I think one of my least favourites on the top of my head is probably the 2009-10 home shirt. I think that's hideous. You know, with the pinstripes.
And the green part of the sponsor as well clashes with it horribly. I agree with that. And it's just too thin.
2009-10 is, I don't like it at all.
Same with the sort of 2016 one with the Flamingo Land.
Yeah, I don't like that one either.
It's a sponsor.
I don't like pinstripes like that. I like the... But I think it was the one that Les brought up was the 2018-19 with the pinstripes, but it also the stripes as well. So it's got the pins. I like that one, but I don't like pinstripes on its own. It's not a fan.
Yeah, quite right. Yeah. Well, do we have anything else to mention about kits? We haven't mentioned. We mentioned two of them. What do we think about the blue one this year? Because I think some of us liked that blue one from 2018 with the amber accents. I think the one this season's just basically. I think, Les, you've got that at the back there.
I it's my favourite of the three. Blue's a civic colour of Hull, so I don't mind blue kits. I think as an alternate, what we tend to do is we tend to have black and amber stripes home, white or black away. I think blue, you know, it works really well. You look at the civic coat of arms of the city, it's yoke with gold crowns on it, and you've essentially just replaced the gold with amber. So I like it. I think it's good.
Cool. So, well, Les, it's the Footy Kits podcast you're on. Do you want to just promote that for a second?
Yeah, you should listen to the Football Kit podcast. I mean, to be honest, we are tab geeks and we go into punishing detail. There's some kit podcasts, it's more about what shirts can people buy this week. So if you're into collecting shirts just because you want to collect shirts, but we tend to focus on how clubs use them. So we'll talk about mashups and we'll talk about designs and stuff. So it's hardcore geeky. I don't know how many people listen to it. I could check the stats, but I don't care because I almost do it for my own enjoyment. I mean, we've had some incredible guests. We had like Jürgen Rank, who's the lead designer for Adidas. He came on our first one, and we've had a load of designers on and really influential people in the industry. And so even if it's just me doing it so I can talk to these people, I don't care who listens to it. So, you know, like normally it's like smash that like button, like and subscribe. I don't come out with any of that stuff. I don't care.
All right, well, thank you very much for coming on. Remember to like and subscribe to the Hull and Back podcast, and thank you very much to Tom and Will for coming on.
Thank anyone who voted for us in the FCAs as well.
So next week is actually our 100th episode. I think we're going to try and get some special guests onto that one as well, so watch out for that, because that'll be particularly great. And Tom and Will, thanks for joining me. Les, thanks very much again. I've been your host, Nathaniel, and we'll be back next week to talk about the Southampton match.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.